Do you ever feel trapped in a dangerous place? Maybe there are some things that are going on or taking place in your life, even as we speak, that you just really don't know. You have called out to God. You don't know what the circumstances and situations are going to be like, and you don't know what tomorrow holds. Well, as we continue our look into the Exodus, that was the position and situation that Israel was in. And we get some great, great passages and wisdom to follow as we look into God's Word today. So I hope and trust and pray that you're going to stick around with us. And I'm just going to encourage you to grab your Bible, go ahead and turn it on over to the book of Exodus chapter 14, and we'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you are joining us today. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus chapter 14. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there to Exodus chapter 14 with us. And I asked the question as we led off in our Bible study, have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation where you have just felt trapped? You felt like there was no way out, whether that was psychologically, whether that was what was taking place or going on in your day or in your life or with your family or whatever it may have been. And you knew that if it wasn't from the hand of God, there was just no way out. Well, that's the circumstance and situation that Israel was in during the time that they were captive in Egypt. They had cried out to God, which is always a great thing to do. I hope and trust and pray that if you're in that position right now, that's something that you are doing, that you are crying out to God and then trusting Him for what the answers are going to be for deliverance. That's what Israel did back during the time that they were captive to Egypt. God heard their prayer, and along the way, there were a lot of lessons that were going to be taught. We know as we have taken the time to consider all that Moses went through and Aaron went through, being used by the hand of God to be the one to bring about that deliverance. Now, we remember the deliverance came from God, but God used Moses and Aaron as His mouthpiece. And in the same fashion, that's what God does today. He uses His children to be His mouthpiece, His hands, His feet, His voice in the hearts and lives of other people. Now, let's not forget the Word of God is the main mouthpiece, hands and feet of God. So as we continue our look in Exodus, we have come to the time where things have culminated. It is about time for them to go out of Egypt. They're going to be delivered by the hand of God, which is a key thing. We don't want to forget that point. One of the things I've always said is that when we consider that, this is a picture of modern day salvation, how the Lord rescues from bondage and sin, the same way that He did for His children, Israel, back when they were captives. He does that through Jesus Christ for you and I today. Through Christ, we have that opportunity to be saved from bondage and saved from sin. You and I are delivered by the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, you remember we talked about in the past couple weeks how the Passover was a big deal. That was when a lot of folks lost their firstborn because they didn't have the blood of the sacrificial lamb on the doorpost and the headers of their door. And in the same way, you and I are challenged with the fact that Christ knocks on our heart's door. Are we going to open the door? Are we going to allow Him to come in? Are we going to allow Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives? So it's interesting that along the way in the passages we're going to read today, we're going to see how God guided them. He didn't just leave them out there. He didn't just say, here are some things that are going to take place. He gave them a guide along the way. I want you to look in just a moment how He guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day. In other words, as they began their journey, they were to follow that cloud. And then it was kind of like, well, what happens at night when we can't see the sky? Well, at night, He would guide them by a pillar of fire, something that was prominent, something that they could see. And the reason that was taking place is because they were traveling in the will of God. That is a huge place to be. It was huge for Israel. It's also going to be huge for you and I as we go through our everyday lives. We need to be traveling in the will of God. Now, so many times people will sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm doing what God's asked me to do, and I am traveling in His will. Why is it that trouble seems to come? Well, folks, I'm telling you, just because you're following the will of God doesn't mean that troubles are not going to follow you. You know, we're going to see what Pharaoh decided to do once the children of Israel were allowed to leave. But without any further hesitation, let's get on over to the scripture. Like I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. That's Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians?' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the Red Sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Verse 19, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud with darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on to the right hand and on to the left." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful again that we have this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your name around your word. I pray that, Father, you will give us true ears to hear what the Spirit speaks into each and every one of our hearts and lives. And Lord, your word is powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is applicable to our lives where we are today. So Lord, may we see you today in your scriptures. May your Holy Spirit speak to us and lead us and guide us as only it can. And Lord, I just ask that for these few moments as your messenger, that you truly would give me the words to say, that your people might be blessed and might be drawn close to you. So Lord, bless our time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So you see, there's a lot that's going on here. This is the time when the Lord is saying, deliverance is at hand. You are going to be going out. And then it's ironic what was taking place with the children of Israel as well, because God had even told Moses that he said, "I'm going to harden the hearts of the people, and I'm going to have them come after you, but I'm going to provide for you. You're just going to have to trust me." How many times have we heard that from somebody who says, "Look, man, I know what I'm doing. Just trust me." Now, sometimes we're not real sure about whether or not they really know what they're doing. But when there's somebody who has a proven track record, who has stood the test of time, why would we not listen to them? It's so funny for me that sometimes I watch in life today and I see people, and I'm just going to use this as an example because this is one I've seen, where somebody doesn't know what's wrong with their car. They wind up taking it to a mechanic, and the mechanic comes out and the mechanic says to them, "Here are the parts that you need. Here's what's wrong with your car." And then the person who's not a mechanic begins to question the mechanic. By the way, asking questions is not a problem, but when I say begin to question the mechanics, like, well, I don't think that's what's wrong with it. Well, here's a mechanic that's got 30 years worth of experience telling you what's wrong with it, and here's you who has no experience, and yet you're sitting there telling a mechanic he's wrong with his diagnosis on your car. It just doesn't make sense. And it's ironic that that's what we do. How many times do we do that? Look at what Moses went through, particularly during this departure. Here were the Israelites who didn't want to be slaves to the Egyptians, who cried out for God for deliverance. The problem was deliverance wasn't happening the way they felt like it should happen or the way they wanted it to happen. And all of a sudden, troubles came. Now, remember what I said just a few moments ago in our Bible study? Just because you're following God's guidelines, and just because you are following even the path that God wants you to walk in the way of His will, does not mean that trouble is not going to come in your life. In fact, you can almost guarantee that there are going to be troubles that are going to take place. You know, as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, Pharaoh decided he shouldn't have let them go. His deal was, well, what am I doing? Why am I letting them go? I shouldn't have done that. And remember, he's been wishy-washy and flip-flopping the whole time. Through the plagues, through everything that's been taking place, you know, it was like, okay, you can go. And then it's like, nope, you can't go anymore. You know, when relief comes, and boy, this is another sermon for another day, but when we're crying out to God and relief comes, how quick do we forget the things that we have shared with the Lord? How quick do we forget what He's asked us to do? And it was just like Pharaoh. When God lightened up through the plagues and everything that was going on, all of a sudden Pharaoh changed his mind again. Now, be cautious, because the Word also tells us that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So at the time, you know, that Israel is leaving Egypt, Pharaoh changes his mind, and the Egyptians began to pursue them with 600 chariots. Now, this was a pretty notorious army. This was not something that Israel felt like they were actually going to be able to stand against or combat. They felt like it was over for them, that there was nothing else. Now, I want you to see what took place in the passages in our text today. So in the midst of this, in the midst of when they were following the Lord's will, in the midst of when they were on their way out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land, the troubles arose. And when the troubles arose, there was depression that came along. Why was there depression? Because the children of Israel were afraid. You know, they were in the habit of fearing Pharaoh. Whatever Pharaoh said went. Whatever Pharaoh told them to do, that's what they did. So they had found themselves in the habit of fearing Pharaoh. They were afraid of him. Man, I'll tell you one thing. Some of us have experienced in our lifetimes before somebody who leads out of a spirit of fear, or somebody who will use things against you, and you're afraid that you'll lose your job. You're afraid that you will lose a relationship. You're afraid of certain aspects of those things. Well, folks, let me tell you, the people of Israel were afraid of Pharaoh, and they had gotten in the habit of doing so. You know, first they prayed. You know, when the situation hit, they cried out to God, Lord, deliver us. This is not what we want. And then they pouted because God wasn't answering their prayer the way they felt like He should be answering their prayer. Now, I want to challenge you today that if you're in that sort of a situation, you know, you're sitting there thinking, God's not listening to what I'm saying. No, God's listening to what you're saying. But the question is, we want God to answer our prayers and do things our way, when God always, 100% of the time, has a better way. And I know that I've experienced it in my life. Not only is God's way a better way, it's never my way. Never. Never one time has God decided, well, let's do it Roy's way. Your plan seems like a good one. It doesn't work like that. God's plan is always for the better for His people. So maybe you're in that position and you have prayed. Now the question is, are you pouting or are you celebrating the joy of the Lord? They, Israel, were pouting. They prayed, then they pouted. The people began to complain to Moses. Boy, we have got complaining down to a science, don't we? Man, in America today, we can complain quicker and better than anything else. Let me carry you back over in our text to verse 11 for just a minute. Verse 11 tells us this. It says, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Yeah, no, wait a minute. These were the same people who were asking God to forgive them. These were the same people who wanted to get out from under the slavery of the Egyptians. And then when God is carrying out his plan in their lives, all of a sudden they begin to complain because it didn't happen the way they felt like it should happen. All of a sudden they're like, what's going on here? And who did they turn against? They turned against their leader, Moses, and asked those questions. They're like, why have you done this? You know what? Essentially what they were saying was, it would be better off for us to continue to be slaves in Egypt than to be out here in the wilderness in graves, right? I've used this expression before. I said, we got to be very, very careful that when God begins to lead us to new territory, that we do not run back to the familiarity that God doesn't want us to experience anymore, the rut that we find ourselves in. I've defined a rut as a grave that's opened up on both ends. God has greener pastures for us to go to. Now, you got to be careful. You got to be following the fact that God is leading you to those greener pastures, okay? So what happened was, they were sitting there and complaining because they were in the process of being delivered. How quick we forget what our prayers really, really were. They said, we don't want to be slaves to the Egyptians anymore. We want to be able to go worship God and worship him freely. And on their way, they began to complain to Moses about that. And sitting back saying, you know what, why don't we run back to Egypt? I've used that expression. If you've been around Central Baptist before, when God starts to move us from one place to another, we got to be very careful because what the first sign of trouble, as it were, we're going to want to turn and run back to Egypt. To turn back into what's familiar to us, even though it's not what's right for us. You know, they're sitting back going, well, you know what? I can still make brick. I can go back and do that. It would be better for us to do that than to be out here. Folks, there are going to be some challenges along the way of your journey to being where God wants you to be. You can take that to the bank, okay? So the people begin to complain against Moses, saying we would be better slaves than dying out here. They had turned bitter. Why had they turned bitter? What was it that made them bitter? Man, these are the people that actually were getting what they prayed for, and now we find that they're bitter. What made them bitter? Well, here's what made them bitter. They focused on the problems rather than the God who could solve the problems. Are we doing that? Is that where you are today? In the middle of your crisis, in the middle of your situation that you've asked God to deliver you from, are you more focused on the problems that are in front of you, or are you focused on the God who can straighten the crooked paths, who can iron out the wrinkles, who can make those problems go away when you turn them over to him? Where is your focus? Because if you're not careful, your focus, if it's not on God, can turn you bitter. You see, one of the things they had forgotten the promise of God. You and I do that all the time. What has God told us? God has told us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Yet no matter where you are, I'll be there. Whether you're on the tallest mountain or whether you're in the darkest valley, I will be there with you. Remember what we say in the Lord's Prayer? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Have we forgotten the 23rd Psalm? Have we forgotten all the promises that we read about? You know, what happens is Satan wants to challenge us with those things. He's sitting back going, oh, well, that doesn't look right. This doesn't seem right. Where's God now? Well, let me promise you this. If you're following God's will, God's way, even though you may not be hearing from him, he is right there in the middle of that circumstance and situation with you. They had turned bitter. So what was it that God was showing them? And along the way, they encountered depression, and then he began to show them direction. Now, in our text in verses 13 and 14, Moses basically gave the people a three-point message from God. And this is what he said. And maybe this is the message you need to hear today going through your crisis or your circumstance or your journey, whichever the case may be. This message that Moses gave Israel is the same message that is for you and I in these very moments of our life today. And this is what it is. This is what Moses told them, and it's relevant to you and me. The first thing he told them was, fear not. Man, what good words. God has used those two words throughout this whole Bible in many, many cases and in many, many situations. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Okay? Why is he telling us not to be afraid? Why was he telling Israel not to be afraid? Because God is simply saying this, I've got this. Don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. I know what's taking place and I know what's going on. The question is, are you going to trust me? I've got this. Fear not. Well, the word for you today in the middle of your crisis is simply this, fear not. If you're trusting God, if you're following him, he's got this. Do not be afraid. So that was point one of Moses' three-point message. Well, what was point two? Point two was stand still. Now, that's a little odd, isn't it? Stand still. Isn't that the opposite of what we want to do when we're struggling? Wouldn't that be the opposite of what Israel wanted to do in the middle of the crisis that were taking place in Egypt and as they were leaving? The first thing that we want to do is we start to squirm. We start trying to find a way to get out of our present situation. But that's not what God told them to do. God called them from fear to faith, and he said, here's what I want you. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to stand still. Stand still. Why is it that you think God was telling them he wanted them to stand still? Well, it's because when we stand still and when we get still, that's when we have that opportunity to hear from the Lord. Sometimes I think we got so much white noise and static in our lives, so many outside distractions that are taking place, that, man, we're not hearing God. We're not going into the prayer closet and taking some moment to be silent and to listen to what it is that God is having to say to us. I mean, so many times we're like, God, I need this, I need that, take care of this person, take care of that person. Have you ever gone in and said, Lord, I just want to be still for a few moments in your presence, and I just want to take a deep breath and thank you for being holy and thank you for being God, and Father, you know, I just want to be quiet and listen for a few minutes. You see, when our mouth is engaged, often our ears are not. He's saying, look, I want you to be still. Why did he want them to be still? Because he wanted them to be calm in the assurance that he had the situation well at hand. And then what was it he said? What was the third point? The third point of his three-point message was, first of all, he said, don't fear, stand still. And then he said, third, see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, see it now with eyes of faith. Faith sees the unseen things. It is our faith that will sit back and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just know you will because you've given us that promise. So, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to relinquish the fear. I'm going to be still in your presence to see what you want me to do, and then I'm going to watch you do some incredible things. Is that where you are in your life? Can you do that in your circumstances? That's what God was calling Israel to do. That's what the message that he gave Moses for the people was. What was it? Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. Look at what he's going to do in your life. Now that they believe, then they're ready to act. It's like, quit running around. Maybe you've been in a situation before where everybody's been running around like a chicken with their head cut off because something went wrong or whatever. And finally somebody said, well, okay, hold on. Time out. Everybody be still. Let's take a deep breath. Let's pause for a minute. Let's think about this. And then as you do that, then all of a sudden, the remedy or the relief comes. Oh, yeah, I forgot to do this. I forgot to flip this switch. I forgot to turn that on. It sometimes just takes that moment of being still to be able to hear the voice of reason. And, of course, our voice of reason is the Holy Spirit in our lives. Okay? So he's given them a three-point message. Now they believe. Now they are ready to take action upon the situation. And then what we see is that the divided waters and the dry ground come up. It's really interesting. Doesn't that seem contradictory what the Lord said in verses 15 through 22 of our text? Remember what we said in the message just a moment ago? He told them to stand still, but then in verses 15 through 22, guess what he tells them to do? He tells them to go forward. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? You know, stand still and go forward. You're like, well, I can't do both of them at the same time. See, we can't move forward until we first stand still. We shouldn't move forward until we first stand still, because the problem is most often we don't know how to go forward until we get the message from the Lord that gives us the direction. That's why we need to stand still. Lord, which way do you want me to go? Lord, what do you want me to do? And then when he gives it to you, then you go forward. then you go about the Lord's will and the Lord's way. Trusting God, they can now move forward. Now, are you trusting God in your circumstance and in your situation? You can't or should not move forward until you do, until everything is dependent upon the hand of God and the voice of God in your life. Yeah, and then the Lord said to him, he said, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll show you the way. He didn't sit back and hand him a map and say, well, you're going from point A to point B, and this is what's going to take place, and this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to show you. So how did he lead them? According to our text, it says that during the day, he led them by a pillar of cloud, which confused their enemies. And by night, he would lead them by a pillar of fire. And then when they get themselves down there with their backs against the Red Sea, and things are not looking good because Pharaoh's chariots are bearing down on them, all of Israel thought they were going to die in that particular moment. They thought that was the end. They had no place to go. Their back was against the wall. And during that time of listening to God, it talks about how the pillar of cloud went and stood between Israel and Egypt and their armies. And they were confused. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't see. I can imagine this just gigantic fog bank. Well, you can't fight a battle when you can't see what's going on. Folks, let me tell you something. God is still in the business of confusing his enemies. He still will confuse the evil one who tries to distract you when you are still and confident in the Lord's direction, okay? So they were led in the midst of their journey. God never left them, and he led them along the way. And then he gets down there, and he says, look, don't y'all worry. Here's what's going to go on. He told Moses, he said, you need to face the sea. You need to take the rod, and you need to lift it. And make a command. And when Moses lifted his rod, the winds began to obey. The word tells us a strong east wind divided the waters. And of course, with that strong east wind, it was probably a dry wind as well, because it blew across where they would walk through, and it was dry ground. That to me, I think that's just yet another point of how God is always in the detail. Not only did he divide the sea for Israel to walk through, he dried up all the mud. They didn't even get their feet muddy. It was dry ground. So God is even in the midst of the details. Now, I also want to point something out. We are talking about several million people here. So God didn't make some little 10-foot path in the water for them to go through. I believe that had to have been a fairly extensively wide patch that God dried up through the Red Sea as Israel walked through them, mainly because there was a ton of people that had to get through there. Yes, scholars believe somewhere between 2 to 3 million people that had to walk through those divided waters. And it says that they walked through on dry ground. It also says that as they went through, the word tells us that the waters were heaped up on either side like a wall. They could see what was taking place. They could see what was going on. Folks, God showed up in a supernatural way for Israel, and he wants to show up in a supernatural way in your life and in mine as well. And not only did God provide the way for them to escape the impending enemy by dividing the Red Sea, he also made it simple for them, because he was in the details of even drying up the bottom so that they walked through on dry land. You see, the gospel is present as we look at it in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. You know, when we make that comparison, again, like I said, we're wanting to make comparisons about what we read about in the Old Testament and then the age of grace in which you and I live in, and then even with the times that Christ walked. So how's the gospel present there? Remember back, we mentioned even a few moments ago, the Passover. The Passover speaks of the death of Christ. You know, the death of Christ was what would pay the sacrifice for them back then. They had to see the blood of the Lamb. That was representation of Christ back in the Old Testament days. But what about today? Today, you and I actually have the shed blood of Jesus Christ himself. And it needs to mark the doorpost and the headers of our hearts and our lives, so that as God looks upon us, he sees the blood of the Lamb, his only begotten Son, that you and I truly are born again believers. So think about how he opened the Red Sea. And this speaks of an escape. This speaks of the resurrection as you and I know it. You know, when they were when Israel had their backs against the Red Sea and no place to go, they knew they were going to die right there. There was no escape. And then God, through his miraculous will and ways, provided a way for them to escape, that they may not die at the hands of Egypt, at the hands of the Egyptians. Now think about that for a minute. That Red Sea of the Old Testament days speaks of the resurrection of Christ for you and I in this day, in this age of grace. He has provided us a way of escape that we might be able to spend eternity with him and escape the wrath of sin and hell as prescribed by the Father. So again, I start off with the same question that I asked you in the beginning of our Bible study. Do you feel trapped in a dangerous place today, whether it's a dangerous circumstance, maybe a dangerous situation in your life, and you just feel like there is no place to go? Well, I want to give to you today the same message that Moses gave to Israel back then, and it's very simple. Stand still, and by faith, see the salvation of God, and he will open those doors for you. And when that happens, then you can go forward. Could you take the advice of the Word of God? Yeah, maybe that's what you're looking for in your situation today. Maybe you're sitting there going, there's no way out, but yet you're praying to God. Listen, don't start complaining like Israel did, but start looking. Because what's going to happen is, I believe with all my heart, that when you stop fearing, when you start believing, when you stand still and know that he is God, through your own eyes, through your eyes of faith, you will see the Red Seas of your life part, and God will say, now, go forward for deliverance. Go forward through salvation. Go forward for my plan for your life. Can you do that? That's what I'll be praying for. In just a moment, I'm going to do that, but I do want to tell you about what we're going to be studying next week so you can have that opportunity this week to seek the Lord in his word. We will, once again, next week, continue our series on the Exodus. But next week, we're going to look at the Song of the Redeemed from the book of Exodus chapter 15. So I want to encourage you to be familiar with Exodus chapter 15. Study that. See what it is that the Lord is wanting to say to you and I as we be still in his presence and allow him to lead us and guide us along the way. Could you do that? I surely hope and pray that you can. Let me say a word of prayer with you and for you, and then we'll get on about the rest of our day or evening. Lord, I just pray right now that for each and every person that has taken the time to view this broadcast and join with us around your word today, Lord, I pray that you will help them in their circumstances and situations to first off, not to fear what they see on the horizon before them, because Satan's pretty scary and he's putting pretty scary things in front of us. Lord, help us to not fear. Lord, help us along the way to stand still, to listen to you, to seek you, to hear the direction that you have for us. And then, Father, as we open our eyes and begin to look around in the midst of the stillness, that we will find the Red Seas of life begin to open, that you show us the path you've provided us for the way of escape that we might be able to bear. Lord, that's first of all in salvation, but Lord, that's second of all in following you every day of our life. You want to lead us and you want to guide us. Help us, Father, as we see the opening to walk on dry ground through the purpose of your will for our life to get to the destination that you have for the will and purpose of our life. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. And as always, if you happen to be in the area and you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come visit with us and worship with us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68. In Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, and we would just love to have you join us as we take another look at God's Word, as we worship Him through song, and as we worship Him through every aspect and means that He gives us the opportunity by which to do so. I pray that I'll see you Sunday. By the way, if you do have a church home, I really want to encourage you to support and love on your pastor. He needs that more than anything. Love on him, support him, pray for him, let him know that that's taking place. And man, you'll see some incredible things happen as God uses his man in your presence. Thank you for joining us. I pray you'll have a great week. Take care.